Support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette-Mail, providing you both sides of the story on their dueling editorial pages. Check it out at wvgazettemail.com. And welcome to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Whitney Burdett of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. And we're going to talk about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act this week and a case in Gilmer County where there was some contention over providing a marriage license to a lesbian couple. And why don't we start with that? That was an amazing story in the Charleston Gazette-Mail this week. Whitney, what happened?
So basically what we have is a same-sex couple, Amanda and Samantha. They've been together since high school. They want to get married. They want the legal document that says that they are wife and wife. So they go to the Gilmer County clerk where they took their family. They had a camera. They were so excited to be able to get this document. What they encountered, however, was what they call humiliation. According to them, one of the deputy clerks verbally attacked them, said that they were an abomination, their marriage was against God, and that he would judge them. So instead of it being a joyous occasion for them, it was one of sadness and humiliation.
And the clerk, she said basically that she did question whether or not this was right in the eyes of God.
Right. She says in the article, this was reported by Aaron Beck, she said that she felt she talked nicely to this couple, maybe in tone, but you know, not in vernacular. Saying words like that just isn't nice. It's rude and it's disrespectful.
So, Rick, let's start with just what happened. What's your general reaction to what happened in Gilmer County this week?
Well, I guess on the bright side, you could say they complied with the law of the land and that they were given the license they requested. On the other, it's extremely unprofessional. It's rude. When you represent a government, you're supposed to carry out the duties without insulting the people who come in to work on the case. And again, I think one of the people involved said people don't insult you when you go into a McDonald's to order food on the basis of who you are. So, and again, West Virginia has a reputation of being a friendly place, a welcoming place. And, you know, a few more things like this, and that'll be going out the window, too.
There is right now in the legislature, just passed the House by a pretty big margin, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And one of the questions is, how would this act, if it passes, how would that affect cases like this in Gilmer County?
Already, these women feel like that they were discriminated against, and the women who spoke this way to them already feel like they have the authority, I guess is a good word, to speak this way. You know, they feel like they have God on their side. If the law is on their side as well, then who's to say what could happen next?
What if the boss of this county clerk looked at this and said, you know what, being rude to customers, to people coming in for marriage licenses, is not acceptable in my watch, and I call this rude. And so I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to write you up and say you are no longer to tell people that they're an abomination against God when they ask for a marriage license. Let's say that RFRA passes. Could the clerk at question say, well, this is a violation of my religious rights. I have the right to tell people that I think what they're doing is religiously wrong, and therefore that would be a defense in court.
I think what might be a more likely outcome is that people who don't feel comfortable issuing such licenses might try to get legal recourse to keep them from doing that. On the other hand, you know, you have complete freedom of religion, but when you're working, that doesn't give you license to harm other people or to insult other people when you're actually on the clock. Like, for example, I work for a Quaker organization, but I try not to engage in bloodthirsty rants or physical violence when I'm on the clock, and I've succeeded for the most part in that, you know, like you're working.
I used to work for a catering company at the Marriott. What if I was catering a gay wedding and I was a bartender there? And I decided that when the grooms came up for, you know, a drink, that I would inform them of their marriage being an abomination against God. Does the Marriott, would they be able to fire me? Would I then have a right to go to court and argue that my firing was wrong because they violated my religious freedom?
I think the Marriott would have a right to fire you for being unprofessional toward paying customers. If RFRA does pass, then yeah, you would have legal recourse.
So suppose you, and again, this is the slippery slope thing. Suppose it's part of my religion to insult all black people or to say that Jews killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they have a collective guilt, blood guilt from that, which was done for centuries. That, you know, it's one of the disgraces on the history of Christianity. And the thing is, you have the right under the First Amendment to believe what you want and to put those beliefs into practice in your personal sphere, but not when it would harm other people, not when you're, certainly not when you're engaged in representing the government of a democracy and carrying out the laws of the land.
You know, I think this is a fascinating argument, because part of the definition of evangelical is that you project your faith out to your community and how you live. It's not just something that happens in church. It's something that you're supposed to do every moment of your day. They say that the opponents of this bill want them to basically shut up about their faith, to not be able to share it openly, to keep it in church, to create a godless sphere.
I think if you want to act out the gospel, then you would stand with the poor and the oppressed and try to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and not judge other people and not condemn other people. And remember the words of Jesus, that if you think your neighbor has a speck in your eye, you might want to check the log in your own eye. So yeah, knock yourself out if you want to do that.
I totally agree. I mean, Jesus said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He didn't put any qualifiers on that and say, love your white neighbor, love your straight neighbor, love your Christian neighbor. He just said to love everybody. So, you know, if you're a Christian, you take that literally and you do your best to love like Jesus loved.
You know, there's a piece to this, too, that you were talking about, Rick. It isn't legal, but just, is it rude? Have we gotten to the point in our society where people just feel emboldened? They feel like they should tell people and should judge them in order to, you know, show their moral beliefs?
Society now is so much more connected. We're so much more open about our private lives. You know, there's social media. Everybody's on Facebook. And we're like these wide open books. So I think that does sort of empower people. And, you know, it used to be on the internet, you could be anonymous. And that sort of has gone away a lot. And I think people translate that into the real world, you know, outside of the internet, and are emboldened to react and to say maybe things that they wouldn't have said before.
Well, I think there's been a kind of coarsening maybe of manners and things. You know, yeah. I personally try to be polite to enemies and strangers and mess with my friends, you know, is the way I try to keep it under wraps a little bit. I only troll people I like, you know, online.
Well, how does this gel in your view, Rick, with Appalachian history and culture? Don't we have this idea mountaineers are always free?
I mean, I think traditionally one part of Appalachian culture that I like is there's sort of a live and let live ethos here. And, you know, also like in a small rural area, you know, someone might be a little strange, but he's our guy, you know, and you would put up with it on that basis. But there have been, let's be fair, instances of intolerance in Appalachia, like the Jehovah's Witnesses during World War II who were mistreated because it was against their religion to salute. I mean, that would be a real case of, you know, abuse of religious freedom. Or there were, unfortunately, lynchings in West Virginia. I mean, not as many as there were in many other parts of the state, but one's too many. So, you know, history's a mixed bag.
This passed by a very large margin in the House of Delegates. But there's a question about whether the state Senate will even take it up, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
You covered the legislature before you became an editorial writer. What do you think's going on there right now?
The Senate is a little more leery of these sort of social issues. They focus more on business and the economy and things like that, which obviously they're led now by a businessman and Senator Bill Cole. You know, there are these different wings of the Republican Party. You know, there's the Tea Party wing, there's the evangelical wing, there's the moderate wing. And that's why I think that they're more likely to take up these sorts of bills like RFRA.
So it's interesting. I wonder what will happen. Last year, because of this tension between the Senate and the House, there were a lot of bills that ended up dying because they couldn't agree on these social issues. Do you think that this will be another theme at the end of the second half of the legislative session, Whitney?
I think so. I mean, the governor came out yesterday and pretty much reprimanded the legislature for not moving on the budget, which is a huge issue in West Virginia right now. So I think that combined with, you know, everything else going on in the House or in the legislature, I mean, the Senate might be a little bit slower to take up these social issue bills and might just want to push through bills that will help spur the economy.
You know, I kind of wonder, on one hand, you see a lot of people saying this is a solution in search of a problem. In a way, I guess you could say that there's not going to be a ton of actual lawsuits probably filed if this thing passed. At the same time, I wonder if this is one of those huge symbolic issues for West Virginia. What sort of state are we going to be? Are we a state where a majority of people have these evangelical beliefs? I think if you took a vote in the state today, there would be a close vote, but I still think there's a majority of West Virginians that think that gay marriage is wrong. On the other side, you do have this tradition of mountaineers are always free and live and let live. And it's almost like this culture war happening within the state about our future. And how it's decided will have a huge impact on economic development, on people's bigger lives, I think, you know, or what sort of state we're going to be.
I think you're right. It is a symbolic thing. It is that question, what kind of state are we going to be? I personally think I'm more interested in economic justice issues. I think often cultural wars like this are a distraction to get low-income and working people fired up so that a political agenda that favors corporations, the wealthy, gets rammed through while you're looking at things like this, to be honest. In general, I think that the problem of homosexuality has been solved for the most part in the sense that, like, if you don't like it, then don't be one.
It's funny. I don't think we expected the Supreme Court ruling as a state and, you know, legalization of gay marriage. It all happened so fast. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the reaction to that. I'll ask one last question. We had the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton debate last night. We have primaries coming up. And West Virginia's primary might matter this year because it might not be decided by May. What do you think issues like this and issues like the decline in the coal fields, how's that going to play out in a primary, Whitney, on the Republican and the Democratic side?
I think it's really going to drive out the vote. At least I hope it does. West Virginia has abysmally low voter turnout in the past few elections. So hopefully people will take a look at the issues and see how it does affect them and get out to the polls and make their voices heard.
I agree with Whitney. Turnout is good and informed voters are making it all the much better.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rick, is going on behind the fact that there's some polling that suggests that Trump's very popular here? There's also some evidence that Bernie Sanders is also very popular here. He definitely has turned out some big crowds when he's come to the state.
You know, there was a story on NPR recently about some of the things the two have in common, like the opposition to trade deals, which they believe are unfair. Interestingly, both want to protect and improve Social Security and Medicare, which I thought was kind of interesting. But I think in the case of Trump, you have a really toxic mix of populism thrown in with some of this sort of red meat that could be real toxic. I have a karate friend who lives in Europe who wrote to me and said that the American political scene reminds him of Stephen King's novel, The Dead Zone. So,
well,
you guys will have to look that up.
Right? Yeah, well, you know, Europe hasn't exactly been a paragon of tolerance and love lately either. So take that, friend. Karate friend. So what's your Bible verse for this week, Rick?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. You know, Ash Wednesday was this week. Did anyone else here get ashes on their forehead?
No.
So, you know, the first day of Lent. See, I'm supposed to be the radical leftist. Am I the only observant, like, religious?
Really? Are you really going to call me out on this? You know, my mother is, like, the only person that listens to the show, and now she's going to know that, no, I did not go to Ash Wednesday services.
If my mother wouldn't have died, that would have been two in our audience out there. Whitney, maybe you got some
Whitney's
relatives.
Husband's listening.
All right.
He does listen. Yes. Hi, Chris.
So the Bible verse that I would pick, I think, fits in with the theme, and it was actually read as part of the Ash Wednesday liturgy. And it's about what kind of religious observances are pleasing to God. And this is from the chapter 58 of Isaiah. If you do away with the yoke of oppression among you and pointing fingers and malicious talk, if you pour out yourself for the hungry and satisfy the needs of afflicted souls, then your light will rise in darkness and your night will be like noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in parched places, and they will strengthen your bones, and you will be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. And your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the age-old foundations. People will call you repairer of broken walls, restorer of the breach.
I really like that imagery of the spring that never fails, especially in West Virginia. So thank you, Rick. That's a really hopeful Bible verse from you today.
I'll do what I can.
You've been listening to The Front Porch. This is Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm joined by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee and Whitney Burdett of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page, part of the Charleston Gazette Mail. Thank you both.
Thanks, Whitney.
Thank you.
Thanks,
and
Scott.
Thank you. And if you're interested in hearing us talk about some issue in The Front Porch, let us know. Email me at sfinn@wvpublic.org, or you can tweet at me. I'm at Radio Finn. And Rick, you're what?
El Cabrero.
El Cabrero, the goat.
Herd, the goat herder.
The goat herder, sorry.
El Cabron would be the big male goat, so just clarification there.
Sorry about that. The goat herder. And Whitney, you are?
W. Burdett _DM.
Thanks for listening.